Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in His presence this morning?
Yeah.
The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Bow down your heads with me as we pray. Father, this morning we thank you, we bless you, we honor you, and we glorify you. Thank you for the life we have. Thank you for the things we enjoy. Thank you for your continuous watch over our lives. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for taking us out of the paths of danger and wickedness and death. We owe all that we have unto you. We pray this morning, even as we have come into your presence, Lord, you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, that you help us to get closer and closer to you. Cause us this morning to be established and to be steadfast in the Christian faith. Bless us and don't allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name I pray. And somebody said, amen. Somebody said,
amen.
Somebody said,
amen.
Wow. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord and you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Are you sure? Fitz, where have you been? You are what? You bumped you. You all right? Okay. I wanna continue with what I've been preaching about. Avoiding disloyalty. Avoiding disloyalty. As much as possible, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Are you there? This is a true saying. If a man desire, if a man just desire, you don't have to have a dream. Is it contrary to what people talk about? Oh, are you sure God has called you? I have a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees around who always try to cause doubts where your calling is concerned. People want you to always have some spectacular, magnificent, supernatural experience before, you know, you can prove that you are called before you can, you know, do the work of God. But the Bible says that it is a true saying that if any man desire is not a very difficult thing. I mean, we desire so many things. We desire things that are not even important. You know, so desiring to be a bishop or desiring to be a pastor, it's not something that's difficult or far-fetched at all. The Bible says if anybody desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing, a good work. And he goes on to say that a bishop then, I mean, once you desire, it's not a problem, but a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, he must be vigilant, he must be sober, of good behavior, and you got to behave well. He's given to hospitality, somebody who entertains people, given to hospitality. He's apt to teach. You must be able to teach. When you take the scripture, John 3:16, you should be able to dissect the scripture. You should be able to cook something from the scripture and let the people who are hearing enjoy what you're cooking. So you must be apt to teach, and you are not given to wine. You're not given to wine. You know, don't give yourself to wine. No striker. You don't beat. You don't cough. You're not greedy. You're not greedy or filthy looker. You know, you can't be looking at what you will get when it comes to being a bishop or being a pastor. They say you must be patient. Not a brawler. You brawl. You bark like a dog. You know, you brawl. Not covetous. The Bible says that, you know, a man's life does not consist in abundance of things that he possesses. So covetousness is something that must not be a pastor's quality. Amen. The Bible says, one that ruleth well his own house. It means the pastor must have a house. When we say a house, we're not talking about a physical house, but a pastor. By the time you become a pastor, you must have a woman. You must have a wife. Yeah, and if possible, you must have children or a child. Because what it does is that it gives you a certain level of experience that actually makes you kind of complete in your shoes. Because if you don't have a wife, you don't have a wife. You can't be a pastor of a church. You have to know how to maneuver with a woman. Yeah. You have to know how to maneuver with a species called a woman. I tell you. They are fantastic. Yeah. So, if you can't deal with a woman, then you can't pastor people. Chris, so you got to think about a woman by the time you finish Bible school. You got to think about a woman. Yeah. You need some pressure at home. Yeah. Because being a pastor is pressure also. Oh yeah, you have to be able to withstand pressure. And the woman will give you training at home. Princess, is that also, you will give the man pressure. Hey, pressure. It's a good training to have a wife. Yeah. Yeah. She will train you. Help you develop a very cool heart. Yeah. Before you kill people. Because you can kill people in the church if you don't take care. There's some people who need to be murdered. You know. But by the grace of God, once the woman trains you, you when you come to church and you see the church members, you say, don't worry. This one, don't worry. It's like that. It's okay. Leave them. Yeah. Taking care of a woman can, in a certain way, also be compared to taking care of a church. Yeah. It's a woman have needs. They have all sorts of needs. A lot of them. You know, and as a man who has a woman, she'll be able to make she happy. You have to make her happy. Yeah. Church members are like women. Yeah, today they are happy, tomorrow they are not happy. They want this, they want attention. All kinds of things. Your message must be good. You must preach a nice message. You must preach good messages. You must take care of them by the messages and the visitation and the counseling. Oh, hey, if you cannot rule your own house well, how can you, having his children in subjection with all gravity, They must be grave. Your children must not be lawless. Because when you are talking to somebody, they say, look at your children. Yeah, it will affect you. So your first church is your home. Yeah? So to be a pastor, Jonathan, you need a wife. You need a child. Is it one child is different from two children? And two is different from three? And having all boys or all girls is different from having boys and girls? Oh, yeah. You can have five girls. It's very, very different from having five boys. And it's very different from having two boys and three girls. Or three girls and two boys. Yeah. Every aspect of human life gives you a certain kind of preparation. Yeah. When you grow older, it's another level of experience. See, old people, they don't rush at all. When you get older, you relax. So look at them young people. When you are young, you think that you are smart. When you get older, you realize that, oh, no, you know. You see another young boy, you say, I was like him. So there are things in life that God gives us to prepare us for his work and for life in general. You know, most of the time we like things to work in our favor all the time. When you get that, life won't be nice. You have to have things that works against you sometimes also. Sometimes also, so that you build a certain experience. As if everything works for you all the time. Then what happens when pressure comes? You kill yourself. I hear somebody went to jump at Kaito again. Hey, please don't go and jump there. If you spend 180 US dollars or something, to go to Kaicho Falls, and then you go and fall. Now you, it's not nice. We need you to be alive. Eh? We need you in a church. Are you with me? And he goes on to say what? For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It's a question. He must not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You know who a novice is? Johnny just come. JJC. Just come. When you just come, you really just come. When things work for you, become proud. Anybody who gets lifted up with pride in anything you are asked to do or anything you do for the Lord, you are a novice. You're a little boy, a little girl when it comes to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into a reproach and a snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. One of the good people to work with is somebody who has been proving. If you have not been proving, you are dangerous. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you have not been proven in a church, you are a very dangerous person. Because what happens is that the moment your test comes, we don't know which direction you go. So people who have been tested and proven, and let these first be proved. So this is also a kind of proving. A person must prove themselves. That you follow the things that you're supposed to follow. You do the things that you're supposed to do. You cannot get any elevation in the church of God if you are not proven. Yeah. You see, the people who are not proven, when you give them something, they fall short. And then sometimes you wonder, why are they falling short? Because they have not been proven. They have not been tested. That's why even when you go to the shop, you want to buy something, there's a tester. Yeah. They don't give us tester colognes here. But if you go to a good country, you pass through a good airport, they're so-called testers. You see Calvin Klein and Gucci, and you can spray all of them and still not decide to buy anything. The last time I bought a cologne here in a shop, they just took the top out of it and they put it close to my nose to smell. I said, "What, you can't spray?" They said, "Nah, we don't do that." So you people, you think that we are animals. I should spend about $10,000, $12,000 to $15,000 to buy something that I can't smell. I'm preaching. He said, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave also, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. I mean, assuming that they are men, right? Ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. There's a way, that's what I'm talking about doing. Because there's a way we behave ourselves in the church. Especially when you say you're a Christian and you go to church, there must be a certain normal behavior. It is not we, God or the church or the pastors, we are not asking for a difficult thing at all. When we ask, or when the Bible says that you must know how to behave yourself. How do I know how to behave myself? Through the preaching, through the reading of the Bible, through the teachings, you know how you must behave yourself. Because most of the time when we preach and when we teach the things that you must do and the things you must not be doing. So it's not like the preaching or the church is replete. There's nothing for you to kind of link to and be able to do things better or behave yourself. There are ways to do things. And like I'm preaching this morning, I'm teaching about avoiding disloyalty. You see, you don't want to be in the category of people who rebel. People who are rebellious. People who don't listen. People who are a nuisance to the church. You don't want to be in that category. Anybody here who wants to be like that? No, so we must avoid. We must prevent it. And sometimes the only way, or one of the most important ways to prevent these kind of things, is just to say, I am sorry. Many women don't like to say, I'm sorry. There are so many women, wives, who never say, I'm sorry. And there are some men too. You feel so good and so proud and so big that they never make mistakes. So they don't say sorry. You must learn to avoid problems in a church. When somebody is trying to get you into some problem, say, hello, priest. I did not come here to get myself into any trouble with anybody. I did not come here to listen and mind people's business. I did not come here. I came for one purpose, and the purpose is to serve God. Please try and avoid getting yourself into something in the church. Avoid it. It is better. It is better. Because many a times, people get themselves into problems, and then the whole thing becomes something else. Now, the reason why those who do bad things and do all kinds of things are not able to come back in the church, or they are not able to even come and stay, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. For example, if you're in a relationship and you lie. You see, when you lie in a relationship, don't think that people are fools, you know. How many of you lie? Yes. Those whose hands are not up, you are here. You're a hypocrite. Because as for lying, we lie all the time. You look like Femi Okeh. What's your name again? Joy. You know Femi Okeh? You don't know Femi Okeh? Who knows Femi Okeh? You know Femi Okeh? Okay. At least somebody knows Femi Okeh. Joy. Yeah. Kuma, don't you lie? Yes. Jonathan, don't you lie? Okay. Who do you lie to? Your mother?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You have to lie to her sometimes. Not me. No, it's not me. But it's you. You. Who touched this thing? Who took this thing? Not me. Me, you know. It's a zombie. It's a ghost. When you have children, it's always a ghost that comes to do things in the house. Nobody ever touches anything. Yeah. Please avoid problems in the church. Because when the problems come, it's sometimes very difficult to fix the problems. You see, one thing David said, and I always remember that. David says that when God decided to punish him, he said that he should make a choice. He went to count Israel, and God said, you feel too nice, you feel too good, you want to count the people for what? Who do you think you are? And then God said he will discipline him. So he gave him an option. He said, you either allow me to punish you, or I will let you fall into the hands of your enemies. Which one do you like? David said, I like you punishing me. Because he said that, I know you are kind-hearted. You are full of mercy. If you punish me, it will come to a point where you will look down on me and say, you know what? Man, all right. Get up and then sit down properly. But he said, if you give me to my enemies, say, hey! If you give me into the hands of another man, hey, you get finished. They say, yeah, forgive but don't forget. It's God who forgives and forgets. He says, I will not remember your iniquities anymore. It is human beings who remember. They remember the bad things and forget the good things. So please avoid problems in the church. Because if you allow yourself to fall into the hands of a human being, Hey, you're finished. Oh. They'll never forget. Don't you see it in relationships? Even those who are not married. You know, you have boyfriends and girlfriends. You remember what you did last year? Last year, around this same time, it was the same way you were behaving. I remember last year, Christmas. When Christmas was coming, no, you say it's work, you're busy. It's the same thing you are trying to do. You know, you have to decide, you know, if you want to be with me. You go back. References. So you, the best is to stay away from disloyalty. Now, people who have been disloyal in the scriptures never did well. So I have spoken about some of the things you must do, even if it comes to the point where you have to leave the church. Peter had a problem. He fixed it well. Jesus, I prayed for you that when you are converted, you should strengthen your brethren. Peter came back after his denial of Christ 3 times and all of that. Judas didn't. The difference difference between Peter and Judas is something very, very important to look at. Because repentance or I'm sorry doesn't really mean you've repented. Because many people say I'm sorry, but they are not sorry. Because if you are sorry, then you fix what you are sorry about. I said, if you are sorry, you fix what you are sorry about. I said, they put people behind bars and then they look at them, the good behavior, and stuff like that. They release them a little early. They go on parole. Because the way you used to behave when we arrested you, now we see that you go into your room, you go to the washroom when we allow you to go, and your behavior is nice. So then they give you more room. So once you are sorry, you do something, you are sorry, you must fix it. Now it is quite interesting when you are sorry about something, but you still want to have things in your control. It's like when the prodigal son came back. Then he coming to tell the father that. So, what? Me getting no vehicle here? You have come back that you say you are sorry. Now you want a vehicle too. Whose vehicle should be given to you? When you took everything you wanted and then you went wasted. Whose vehicle should we give to you? Did you come with a vehicle? So why don't you just sit down and walk? Catch bus, catch car, and leave the 5 cars in the yard. Leave them alone. There's none of those cars that belong to you because you took yours away. People don't know. You see, people don't know how true repentance, a contrite. There's a song that says, what? There's a song that says, a broken spirit. It's actually from Psalms. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. A contrite heart, a heart that is broken and is falling down. To say, you see, sorry is a very interesting thing. Broken spirit, even when you go before God, you say, God, I'm sorry. Your heart must be broken about the thing you have done. The Bible says, He will not despise a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He will not despise. God desires truth in the inward parts. That's how the song goes. I don't know if you remember. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. You remember, Pastor Isa? I don't know when you were saved, when you got born again. So once you take yourself through all these things, you say sorry, or you have to fix the situation. It's not just a matter of talking, but it must also be backed by actions. I said it's not just talking. We are not children, though. When you say you are sorry, you should mean it, and you should mellow, and you should come down from your horses, you should come down from your throne, you should come down from whatever, and be normal, and be led and allowed to be yourself to be pastored properly. Yeah, that's what means when you say you are sorry. So, like, I suspended one of the young girls in my church. I'm watching her as I've suspended her. Cry, I'm watching, my eyes are open wide. I'm watching her. Because she's in jail now, so if she behaves herself, then she goes on parole, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm watching her bad. Yeah. Here we suspend people, you know. This is one of the few churches we drive people away. When you talk about driving people away from the church, people don't understand. No, A man of God said that a physical demon, you handle them physically. Yeah. You beat demons. If you see a physical demon, you beat them up. Yeah. Are you there? So, should you become a rebel and then you realize that, you know, this thing, I didn't do well. Then there are steps you must follow. There are steps you must take to fix the situation that you caused. And I'm going to give you some steps very quickly, and I'll close. Have you enjoyed the service this morning? Richard, I hope you're also not putting cream on your face. That's your color. Okay, that's your... You too, you putting things on your face? It's sad. A year mobile. Wow. The first step is to admit to yourself and to God that you have been a rebel. Admit to yourself. Don't say mina kenke. You know mina kenke. They say I should say. It's like you have not admitted it. It's like you are just doing it. Maybe because, you know, a lot of people are saying what you did wasn't right or something. People do that. They are just influenced by what people are saying. But inside them, they are not sorry. To really fix the problem of a rebel or being rebellious to your church or being a disloyal person, you must first admit it. Papi, you must first admit it. You know what? I have been a bad boy. You must admit it, Papi. You creaming your face though? No? Okay. Yes, Papi. And to God, that you have been a rebel. You must. The prodigal son said, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He admitted. It wasn't somebody who was sending him text message and calling him and said, bye. What are you doing? You know, why are you not coming? Why your father is crying? It's not that. You yourself admit that I am sorry. I have done something wrong before God and you must admit it. Number two, ask God for his forgiveness and mercy. Because when you do those things, there's a certain kind of wrath. There's a certain kind of bad, it's like a bad omen comes upon your life. So you must ask God for forgiveness and mercy after you admit. Are you there? Chris, don't tell me that we didn't teach people how to correct their mistakes and their errors. That's what we are teaching here. Because we know that sometimes we can ignorantly get into some foolish things. But if you really have a good heart, if you really appreciate and you really want to serve God, then you should be able to fix things and fix issues. If you really love and want the relationship, you must fix it. Many people who don't fix relationship, it's just because they don't want the relationship. If you want a relationship, you fix it. If you want a relationship, you work on it. If you want a relationship, you do all your best to be able to have the relationship. It is those who don't want, they behave like that. Oh. You can't deceive us. If you want a relationship, you work on it. Isn't it true? Yeah. If you want it, you work on it. Joy. If you want a relationship, will you not work on it? Is that your phone? You call and say, hi. How are you? I just
felt like, you know, talking to you. You still mad at me? Oh, you know, I said I'm sorry. No, let bygones be bygones. And let's move on, you know. You know, you are the best thing that happened to me. Yeah. Oh. Please talk to me. Why are you so quiet on me? Don't do that. Oh, yeah. I couldn't sleep last night. I love you. Oh, you're not saying anything. I said I love you. Oh, why are you saying me too? Please don't say me. At least you say I love you too. Don't say me too. Are you coming around? I'm home today. Okay, all right. I'm going to prepare something nice for you, okay? I'm looking forward to seeing you. All right. Mwah. Ciao. What? That somebody serious working on his relationship. Kissing through the phone and all them things. Yeah, serious. Yeah, I'm sorry. The person wants to work on a relationship. But there are some people, it's like war. Civil war.
You calling? I'm calling. You talking? I'm talking. It's like, we'll see who will talk to who first. You're not serious. You are not serious. You don't want a relationship. Because, you see, it is perceived commonly that if you want a relationship, it means that you are stupid. If, let's say, you are the first to apologize, you are the first to make the call, the first to, it's like, you are the foolish one. No, you are the wise one, rather. You are the one who is proving that you like the relationship and you want the relationship. If you want something, why don't you be honest about it? Why these styles? Why these styles? Why these things that you are playing? What is that for? Please, be honest and be open that you want the relationship. Just say sorry. Admit and say sorry. Simple. I don't see what I did wrong. All right, stand there. Be there. If you don't see what you did wrong. Is everybody telling me that I did something wrong? I don't know what I did wrong. Okay, so it's okay. Bible says that if you are coming to the altar and you realize that somebody has something against you, how do you know that somebody has something against you? When you don't know what you did was wrong. I like that verse. It's not saying that if you have something against somebody, because that one is obvious. It's clear because we have things against people all the time. But this one, the Bible says that when you realize that somebody else has something against you, then it means that you can't walk around in this church and in this Christianity and say that, oh, I don't know. Oh, why? Why? I don't know what I did. Oh, really? Oh, I'm surprised. You're surprised? You should know when you offend people. You should know. You should know. There are signs of it. Yeah, you must be sharp. And you see that. Oh, I'm sorry if I didn't. So, why do you? What did I do? What did you do? You're not a Christian, that's why. Confess your rebellion to those against whom you have rebelled. Confess your rebellion to those against whom you have rebelled. You must confess your, I rebelled. Sometimes you need to be to the point. Sometimes you need to say exactly what happened and this and that and that. Confess. Confess your rebellion to those against whom you rebelled. And then you go to the church from which you rebelled and confess your sins publicly. It's in a book. And we are giving you a manual on how to behave yourself, gift. How to behave. Don't say, I don't know how I must do it. It's right here. Page 170 of Loyalty and Disloyalty. How to return and you to be forgiven of your rebelliousness. Confess, go to the church from which you rebelled and confess your sins publicly. You can come quietly and slip behind the back there and say, hey, you are back. You are back where? How, why did you go out in the first place? What happened? How come? You make us confused. So come openly and speak about it. Blinky, speak about it. Publicly confess. Confess to any other parties that were involved during the time of your rebellion. Any other parties that were involved in the time of your rebellion. And then those from whom you rebelled will forgive you. That is when you will be forgiven for your rebellion and release you in God's blessings and release you. If you don't do this, you are not released into God's blessings. You are actually released into God's curses. Clive, there's a way we must behave in the church of God. See, when Chris was absent a couple of days, he didn't say sorry to me, you know. You remember?
Yeah, right.
He never told me he's sorry. He just came back and he's just flowing. That man too, he's I don't know why he stood up, but he's also up. He's guilty.
You just disappear. You check out of the church. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, we don't see you. All of a sudden, you slip back. You come and sit in the church. You say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You are giving offering and singing and all of that. Hey, what's that? Who are you? What's happening? You have to come and say, you know what? I'm sorry. This, that. You know, something.
Richard Thomas.
Yeah, you're smiling. You're skinning your teeth.
There is a way we behave in a church of God. If you don't come to church one day and you must call your boss man. Yeah. Don't just come back and say, I ushering today. You need a slap if you ask that question. Where were you? Well, what happened? Where's my tie? You have a tie? The tie is out, the church tie.
One day somebody said they were going to get married and they wanted to put on that tie. They like the tie. I said, no, it's not for. He said, no, but can I? Because I like the tie. It's a very nice tie. I want to wear it when I'm having my wedding. I said, no, please, you can't use the tie. Yeah, just in case you think it's not a nice tie. Somebody wanted to put it on when they were having their wedding. Yeah? I said, no, it's for ashes. Are you with me? So we are teaching you, Jonathan, how to behave in a church. We pray that you don't become rebellious. But if it happens and you realize that you are sorry, then there's a step and there are ways to follow to get back into fellowship with us and with God. Amen. Stand to your feet, somebody. My time is up. Hallelujah. Don't say we didn't teach you. We taught you. Because there's a way to come in. There's a way to be part of us. You must come in. You must, during the altar call, you must lift up your hands. You must give your heart to Christ. You must be baptized in water. You must be baptized the Holy Ghost. That's how you enter. And you become part of the church. You pay tithe and you come to services. Now, when you check out, you want to just come back like that. You got to say something. Yes, Lord.
I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be a vessel you work through. You went through. I wanna be more like you.
Father, this morning, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for teaching us. The Bible says that we should train a child in the way he should go, and when he's grown, he will not depart from it. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for ministering to our lives. Well, thank you that we will avoid, we will shun, we will prevent, we will cause from not happening. To be disloyal, to be rebellious, and to lift up our nose and our heels against the church, the ground and the pillar of truth. Help us to behave ourselves the way we ought to. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I mean, you're here this morning, you're not saved, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Before we close, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to come into my heart and into my life. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. If you're here like that, just your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you so much. Oh, there's a hand at the back there. Okay. If you lifted up your hand, then come. I want to pray for you. Come quickly. Come.
Bring me to my knees, Lord. I lay down. Bring me of myself. I belong.
You backslided or what? You backslided?
will lead me.
All right, close your eyes with me and let's pray. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.